Well, good morning, everybody. Just to get this out of the way, yes, I did have a little mishap this week on Friday. I was playing basketball, and as the play developed, my pinky ended up pointing a different direction than the rest of my fingers. So I went to visit some medical care friends of mine, and they put it back in place, and now I'm just kind of protecting it a little bit for the next couple of weeks. The timing's terrible. Not that there's ever a good timing, but you know, with the nice weather, I'm anticipating getting the golf clubs out, the motorcycle out, and this is the clutch hand, so we'll see how that works over the next several weeks, but I am feeling fine. I just need to protect it a little bit. Some folks have asked about that. Hey, did you notice the big machines over there? Some of you did. So on your way out, over on the property that we purchased about a year and a half, is it a year and a half or two and a half? Yes. Year and a half. In the last 5 years, we purchased those 6 acres, and one of the things we've talked about is the opportunity to partner with FCA for sports ministry, and we have machines over there that are moving dirt and prepping that. And the reason that has happened is because someone watched the vision night that we had several weeks ago, and in listening to that and praying about what their response might be, I had a phone call, and this person said, hey, really excited about all that vision night had, and specifically about sports ministry and the prep and launch of that, and as a way of honoring a particular family member, I'd like to write a check to get that going. And so they wrote a check for $5,000 and said, let's get that going. And so the preparation that's happening now is the topsoil comes off, the ground gets leveled for the field, and then that topsoil gets screened and put back on and graded appropriately. Then there's grass seed, and then there's hay, and then there's some people here that are going to be cutting the lawn, I think, probably. So, and that check for $5,000 almost completely covers that whole first phase process. So we need a little more to get over the finish line for that phase of it. But isn't that cool how God's just at work? And actually, I want to, Robbie, go to that one slide that I said I wasn't sure if I was going to do, but we're going to do that. So one of the things that came out of, just by way of update, out of Vision Night is not just the fact that we walk with Jesus 24/7, but we see in the year 2024 7 initiatives that God has put before us, opportunities. And I've just given you an update on the prep and launch sports ministry, and thought while we're talking about that, let me just give you a couple other updates. Raise the digital bar. How many have tuned into the podcast that is sort of grassroots growing? Some of you have. Excellent. Seems like more of the people that sit in the front have been watching that, so just kidding. But that's one of the things, and Brian, Alex, and I have been kind of having these conversations, and people have been leaning into those, and we've gotten some really great feedback. So if you are not familiar with that, Alex, I'm prepared. What's the best way for them to get to it and find it? Anywhere you listen to your podcast. So just type in conversations about meaningful things, and it'll get you there. And so we've done that. You might see some more very intentional and timely posts on our social media, things like that, raising the digital bar. Increased community reach. Some of you may remember when a few years ago, before COVID, we were doing remote block parties. We were kind of equipping you to reach your neighborhood. And we're revitalizing that now that COVID's done, and we can get back into our communities and neighborhoods. So we're going to be equipping an enclosed trailer that will have everything you need to unpack a block party for your neighborhood. And so over the summer, you'll have the opportunity to just sign up for a week, and we'll roll that thing over by your house, and you can unpack it and reach your neighbors and just have a good time making connections that way. Growing staffing for ministries over the next several weeks, we anticipate letting you know some steps that we're able to take. Engage mission partnerships. There is a team team that is preparing to go to Latvia this summer to partner with Josiah Venture, doing camp ministry there, reaching the next generation for Christ. And then there's opportunities we have locally to engage, whether it be something like Ugandan Water Project or Bethel Express or FCA or Young Life. There's lots of opportunities, and we want to encourage you to engage in those partnerships that we have. I already mentioned PrEP and Launch Sports Ministry, expanding the facilities. We are closing in on having our final building permit. The first phase of expansion is to have a centralized office suite so we can pull all of our staff together. Right now, we're sort of fragmented, and we, if I'm honest, we feel that a little bit, right? And so coming together in one office suite, we're looking forward to doing that and being together. That also frees up somewhat our currently office spaces to be used for kids and youth ministry in preparation for then a phase two, which will specifically address our need for kids and youth ministry. So that's happening. As the spring unfolds here, you'll see that construction begin and then launch a capital stewardship campaign. We have seated a stewardship team, and we've been meeting. We met actually this week, and we're excited to let you know the opportunities that God has for us to step into the things that he's put before us. And that involves everyone. Everyone has an opportunity to be a part of what God's up to. It's not for a select few. And so just by way of a quick update there, where we're at with some of those things. If you have questions, we'd love to talk with you about any of those, and feel free to reach out on that. All right. All of that exists because we are on mission to make loving disciples of Christ who worship, grow, serve, and share. That's what we're here to do. If you happen to be visiting, maybe you're out of town, you're visiting some friends, or you're in the area, this is what our church is about. And that's because that's the mission that Christ gave us when he sent the disciples to make disciples. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he said, go and make disciples. And so that's what we are about. We want to help you follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. And we want to help you do that. We want to come alongside. We want to encourage. We want to challenge. We want to support all of that. And when we think about that, one of the things that we think about is the values that support that mission. And so here at VCC, we value authentic faith in Christ. We want you to trust Jesus. We want you to recognize that he is the Savior. He is the one that provides us hope for this life and for eternity. And we want you to be able to put your faith in him and follow him. We value personal growth. One of the main mechanisms for personal growth here at VCC is involvement in a community group. I had a conversation with somebody this past week who was relaying to me that someone wasn't sure what a community group even was. And so let me just be really clear. A community group is a small group of people within the church family that meet together regularly to encourage each other and to help each other grow. Discuss scripture, discuss the application of what's going on day to day, pray for one another. Oftentimes they serve together. In some ways, a little bit of a spiritual inner circle maybe, right? And we want you to be in that kind of environment, because growth happens there. And it's not just that you're there to grow yourself, but in that environment, you will help others grow as well. And so we want you to be in that kind of environment because we value personal growth. Sacrificial service, boldly sharing the gospel, these are all things that we value because we are on mission to make disciples of Jesus. It's interesting, Francis Chan was talking about making disciples, and here's what he had to say. He said, when I was a kid, we used to play this game called Simon Says. Most of us have played that, unless you're really young, because there's no app for that. You know, it's Simon Says. Simon Says, pat your head, and you did it. It's a really simple game. And it's weird how in the church, Jesus Says is a totally different game. If Jesus says something, you don't have to do it. You just have to memorize it. You study it, you memorize it. He goes on to say, guys, it doesn't make a lot of sense, the things that we do. He tells us to go out and make disciples, but how many are actually making disciples? Oh, they've memorized it. He said, you know, when I tell my daughter to go clean her room, she doesn't come back to me 2 hours later and say, hey, Dad, I memorized what you said. You said, go clean your room. I can even say it in Greek. In fact, Dad, my friends are going to come over and we're going to study on what it would look like if I actually cleaned my room. She knows better than that, he said. And so why do we think that we're going to come before the judge one day and quote everything he said and tell him how much we know? It's just this black and white stuff. If I just started with scripture, I think here's what I would do. I would start making disciples. And it is that simplistic idea of Jesus said, go make disciples, and that's what we want to do. And we want you to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus that simply does what he says to do. Because we found him to be exactly who he claimed to be, the promised one sent from God, the Messiah, the Savior, the one worth following. So, we are wrapping up this series 24/7. This series, which helps us understand what discipleship looks like in my own life. And just by way of review, here's where we've been. We've talked about being biblically rooted, being God-focused, God-strengthened, that we are praising him, that we are fully committed. We talked about these last week, in constant communication. And today, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. The disciple is prepared and ready. And today, I want to help you think about, are you prepared and are you ready? So, are you ready to spend some time in God's word? Is that okay? Perfect. Excellent. 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn there if you have a Bible with you or a digital device. If you don't have either, there's a Bible in a chair around you. Take that. And follow along. 1 Peter chapter 3, specifically verse 15, is kind of our focal point for this particular aspect of following Jesus 24/7. But I want to expand that to include verses 13 through 16. So here's what the writer says. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Always be prepared to give an answer. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this, and we don't want to fly past it, is there is a presumption in this verse, isn't there? And the presumption is this, that someone is asking you about the hope that you have. There's a presumption that there is something in your life and my life that demonstrates some degree of hope. Whether it's our attitude facing the circumstances of life, whether it's the language we use in the conversations that we have, whether it's our attitude or our demeanor, there is something that prompts someone else to notice that's a person of hope. There's a presumption made that the author has that those who follow Christ, that one of the things that will mark them is that people can notice they're a person of hope. It's a presumption that I don't want to fly past because I just want to ask you this question. Is there a hope in you? Because if there isn't a hope in you, I think it's going to be very difficult for anyone else to notice a hope in you and therefore ask you about the hope that is within you. But if there is a hope within you, are people taking notice? Do people recognize that? And when we talk about hope, we're talking about the hope of salvation, the hope of eternity, the hope of a relationship with Christ. Hebrews 6:19 puts it this way: we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. It holds firm and secure. Maybe one of the ways people would see hope in you is that as you go through this life, there is a security and a firmness in how you approach day in and day out. How you discuss the events in your life, how you discuss the circumstances, what it is that you communicate. Is there a hope in you? And by the way, people are looking for hope. You don't have to look very far to find someone who is looking for hope. And if a world that is looking for hope can't look at a follower of Jesus and see hope, then there's something that needs to be addressed. As followers of Christ, we should be agents of the hope that God provides to us. And so that presumption that someone would see hope and ask you about it is there. Secondly, that's a presumption that requires preparation. It requires preparation. What do I mean by that? Well, he says in the verse, always be prepared. So the presumption that there is hope in us that people ask about requires that we be prepared to give an answer. That's the specific instruction that he's giving. He's telling us that preparation is critical. Some of you have probably heard the old equation, success happens when preparation meets opportunity, right? We've heard that. Lots of us have heard that. I see heads nodding. Well, if we're going to be successful at sharing the gospel and making disciples, then we need to be prepared to give an answer. And what does that look like? Well, let me just be as applicationally practical as I can this morning. All right? How can you prepare to give an answer for the hope that you have? Well, there's two things, I think. Two things I want to suggest. One is your personal testimony and story. There's nothing more powerful than eyewitness testimony. And your eyewitness testimony about what God has done and is doing in your life is so important. But how do I do that? What's the preparation that I can do? How can I be prepared to talk about the hope that I've experienced in Christ? Well, I'm going to give you three steps. They're very simple steps, but I think they're steps that will make sense and potentially help you even this week to tell your story. All right, here are the three steps: before Jesus, faith in Jesus, and since Jesus. That is what you can communicate to someone who says, so what's different about you? Or someone who says, so, hey, this doesn't seem to bother you. What's up? What's going on? Or someone gets in a conversation with you. I'm going to tell you later this morning about a few conversations that people have had. Before Jesus, what was going on with me before Jesus? Now, I've shared this lots of times, so I know it's review for a lot of you, but if I were to take these three steps myself, I would say, well, before I was an angry middle school student. That was me. I was angry, didn't really go to church much, didn't really have much of a background about faith or the Bible or about Jesus or anything, but I was an angry middle school kid and didn't get along with people all the time. There we go. Faith in Jesus. When did I put my faith in Jesus? What led to that? What were the circumstances? And again, you've heard this. My grandparents offered to pay for me to go to a camp. I didn't know what a retreat was. And they explained that it was a whole bunch of kids your same age going away for the weekend. You're going to have lots of fun and games and sports, and they're going to give you all the food you could want. And my grandparents said, and we'll pay for it. So in my middle school mind, I went, okay, I have a brother who's 7 years younger than me. We got along some of the time. And so in my mind, as a middle schooler, I'm going, okay, I get away from parents and my younger brother for the weekend, all kinds of sports, all kinds of food that I get to eat, and it's free? I'm in. And I found out what a retreat was, and I found out who Jesus was. And so I went and heard about the gospel for what seemed like the first time in my life. And then I put my faith in Christ. And since then, well, a lot's happened since then. I'll spare you all the details. But that's a simple three-step process where you can tell someone, here's my story of what God's done. Before Jesus, this is what was going on. Here's how I came to a point where I realized I wanted to put my faith in Jesus, and this is what's been happening since. If you can take those three steps, you can share your testimony in a concise, effective way. And no one else has your story. I mean, I could try and tell your story, but I'm telling it third person. First-hand eyewitness testimony is so powerful. What you share with another person has power, even if you think your story is no big deal. It is a big deal. And it will especially be a big deal to that person that you share it with, who for them, that turns a light bulb on. That's going to be a really big deal for them. And we have the opportunity to do that. That's part of our preparation. Are you prepared to tell your story? And if you say, well, I don't know what I would say, say those things. Just say that. Start there. They may ask you a question. They may ask you a question that you don't know the answer to. Don't worry about that. That's one of the big fears that people have in talking about faith and sharing their testimony. Well, what if they ask a question that I don't know the answer to? Well, what do you think you should do? You should say, I don't know, but we can find out. See, none of us here has all the answers. If we're worried about someone asking us a question that we don't know the answer to, then none of us would ever say a word because nobody knows everything. But that's the great part of sharing your story is it invites the opportunity for further conversation. You know what? That's a good question. I don't know. Haven't thought about that, never heard that, or I've wondered that myself for a while, but let's, you know, why don't we, why don't we look into that a little bit, all right? So don't worry if they're going to ask you a question you don't know the answer to. And don't worry about whether they're going to accept or reject you or your story. Let me go back a couple of verses here. Verse 13, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. You know, Scripture talks about the fact that those who choose to follow Jesus can expect that somewhere along the line, someone's not going to like that, that persecution could be part of that journey. And what is written here for us to keep in mind and is borne out in other passages of Scripture is that being persecuted for the sake of the gospel is a blessing. To be counted worthy, that someone would think enough of your faith to take note of it, even if it's a positive note or a negative note. He goes on to say, do not fear what they fear. Don't be afraid. Do not be frightened, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord, and then that verse that we've been talking about. And then he goes on to say, do this with gentleness and respect. Keep a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. In other words, be above board, be above reproach, so that anyone who wants to try and take you down is embarrassed because what they're saying is not accurate. So, can you do those three simple things? Talk about, this is me before Jesus, this is how I put my faith in Christ, and this is what's been going on since then. The other aspect I think is important is to capture the essence of the gospel itself. And I've shared this with you before. I call it one verse evangelism, but you can call it what you want. Just jot down Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, we'll just spend a couple minutes here. If there's one verse that you could memorize and know to capture what is the gospel to share with another person, I would suggest this is one of those verses. This is not the one that people hold up at the football games, right? They hold up John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's nothing wrong with that verse. That's a great verse, right? It's a great verse. It talks about God's love for us and putting faith in Christ. But Romans 6:23, I think, presents maybe a more complete picture of the gospel because it says, the wages of sin is death. right? There's something that we need to contend with when it comes to the fact that we have a holy God and we're sinful people. The wages of sin is death, but, see, the wages of sin is death establishes for us that we need to do something. We need a Savior. There's lots of folks who walk around this earth and go, I don't need anything, I got me, or I don't need anything because I got this, or I'm just fine, or I'm better than everyone else I know, so I'm going to be fine. But the wages of sin is death establishes that we all have something that we need to deal with. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where eternal life comes from, through Christ. It doesn't say, but the gift of God is eternal life if you have enough good stuff on that side of the scale. It doesn't say, but the gift of God is eternal life if you hit 80% attendance at your local church. It doesn't say that. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I think part of your and my preparation to give an answer for the hope that people see in us is to be able to share my personal story and share the essence of the gospel. And if we can do those two things, I think God has opportunities ready for us to step into. And so let me just encourage you, not to just think about this, but to go home today or this week, get a pencil and paper out, because stuff sticks a lot better with lead. I'm not sure why. Write it out. Find someone, maybe a spouse, maybe a parent, a friend, and say, hey, I want to run this by you. Just tell me if it makes sense. This was my life before Christ. This is how I put my faith in Christ, and this is what's been happening since. Does this make sense? Can you track with me on that? Yeah, okay, cool, thanks. Thanks for that feedback, right? And then look at verse 23 of Romans chapter 6 and understand how to share that with someone and explain it to someone. In a lot of ways, that verse is self-explanatory, but having it ready, at the ready, prepared and ready, is going to be a wonderful thing. So there is a presumption about those who follow Jesus that people would see hope and ask about that. That presumption requires preparation, which leads to, throw it up there, Robbie, to communicate personally. Right? Give an answer to the person who asks. Communicate personally. And it goes on to say, with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. And I don't know about your particular demeanor, but that means you have a nice conversation. Like, it's not combative. It's not adversarial. Because when we are combative and adversarial, I don't know how we're communicating God's love to that other person. But when we can sit down and respectfully, and listen, I've had, and you probably have as well, I've had plenty of conversations with people that didn't end with someone going, help me pray to accept Christ. But when we have a respectful, gentle conversation, that builds rapport, it builds foundation for maybe that time, whether it's me or someone else, where that person says, you know what? Man, I really do want to put my faith in Christ. And so how we communicate at a personal level is so important. And I'm fully convinced, and we've talked about this over the last several weeks, that God will have opportunities for you to have a personal conversation with somebody this week in some sort of circumstance. You don't know it yet. I don't know it yet. But God's been working at that, setting things up for you to have that conversation. Think about it. For most people in this room, at some point, God set up an opportunity for you to have a conversation with somebody that helped you understand the gospel, right? So what's the opportunity for you to be that person in another person's life? That personal conversation. And as we follow God, we've said this every week, then the promise that we find in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 becomes applicable and vibrant in our life. It says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I've challenged us every week to be willing to ask that question, God, what do you have for me this week? And I know many of us have been asking that question, and we've been hearing God's answer. I want to share with you the testimony that Kristen shared with me about her answer to that prayer. She says, the opportunities that came my way last week were awesome. I have a friend who was widowed almost 4 months ago. Her husband was welcomed into heaven 2 days after Christmas, after a 3-year struggle with brain cancer. She had been in my prayers and on my heart since his passing. I remember my mom being widowed at the age of 40, and around the 4-month mark, the support kind of fades away. I ordered from Wegmans and had a delivery made to her house. I wanted her to know that she is loved and not forgotten. I found out a couple of hours later from a mutual friend that she was taking a last-minute trip to see her daughter at college. Our friend was supposed to watch the girls at home, but had a volunteer commitment for Friday evening. This was all perfect timing, as I was able to help out by picking up the girls, feeding them dinner, and was able to spend some fun time with them. We talked about church, and I told them that I go to VCC. The older daughter had just been to VCC for youth worship night. Just being able to love on my friend and family was amazing. No circumstances or no coincidences there, right? She went on to share, a coworker of mine just lost her grandpa. She was telling me at work that the pastor that came to talk with them was very nice. I told her about VCC and that she was welcome to join me anytime. Alex, you'll appreciate this. She asked if we sing. And I told her that we have an amazing worship team and that we sing a lot. And she was so happy to hear that. And I pray she will join us someday soon. Kristen wrapped up by saying, that was my week, and I am looking forward to this week to see what he has planned for me. Oh, and by the way, I had the chance to have a great conversation with an ER doctor on Friday. And I'm not joking. So because of my involvement in first response, I know quite a few people at Thompson ED. And so I knew the particular doctor, and he had a resident there who was going to reduce the dislocation. And he goes, you comfortable with her doing that? Yeah, that's fine. He goes, okay, hey, why don't we film it? You can show your wife. So he doesn't know Tina. He doesn't know that, like, Tina doesn't want to see things, doesn't want them described to her necessarily. There's two family members that are okay with that, our daughter Katie and me, and then Tina, Christian, and Hannah are like, don't start, let me sit down first, whatever. So anyway, so I handed him my phone, and he thought that it was already recording. So he's just holding the phone, and then when she reduced the dislocation, then he hit the button thinking it was now stopping. And put the phone on the bed while he was actually starting the recording, and it recorded the next 5.5 minutes of our conversation, which was a really cool conversation because we talked about God, we talked about creation, we talked about faith, we talked about his background and how we're not that much different, and it was just an awesome opportunity. Now listen, I'm not saying, you know, go bust up your body so you can have conversations with ER doctors, but my point is, there are opportunities all around. Are we prepared and ready? Part of our preparation and our readiness is being willing to look and see for those opportunities. I don't know what your week's going to hold, but I do know God's been preparing things in advance for you. The question is, as it has been, are we willing to pray that prayer? God, what have you been preparing for me today or this week? Help me to see it. Help me to be faithful in it. Let's pray. Father, this morning we are once again so grateful for your word, for your Holy Spirit, for your instruction to us. Lord, we want to faithfully follow you, to be your disciples, and to share that good news with others. We want to make disciples. And so, God, help us be at work in our hearts and our minds and the decisions we make so that we are walking with you 24/7. And as we do that, God, help us open our eyes to the opportunities that are all around us. Lord, even this week, would you help us to prepare for those, to not just feel like they come at us and we don't know what to do, but to have ready our testimony and your word. Lord, we recognize in Revelation, it says that the enemy is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so this week, God, help us to do just that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.